weeks. There's a man from Austria named Felix Baumgartner that was out to set a record. You know, you look at Guinness Book of Records, somebody that is trying to maybe break a record that somebody else has had before, or to do something that nobody's ever done before. And they have started putting some rules on it now, because there were people that going to such extremes that it was dangerous what they were doing. There would be somebody say, I ate a whole bicycle. I ground it up in small enough pieces, metal, tires, everything, and I ate it. And they saw them do it to where they would get into the Guinness Book of Records. Well, there's people that go to extremes to be able to break a record. Well, this man, Felix Baumgartner, set a goal that he wanted to be the first man to jump out of something the highest of anybody else. And he wanted to do something else. He wanted to break the sound barrier with his body. So he tried last week. It took to be able to lift him that high. He was going to jump from 23 miles up. It was amazing, the picture, when he opened that capsule and looked outside. I would have shrunk back inside and shut the door, but he did it today. As we were going home, I heard about it. He went up in a capsule with a hot air balloon, a helium balloon, that was 55 stories tall to lift him 23 miles up. Well, 23 miles up, there's no oxygen, so he was in a space suit. And they were talking to him from the ground. Okay, go through these steps, you know, making sure you have done each one of these steps, because you don't want to jump out and have your air hose still hooked to you. So they were going through each thing and saying, make sure you've done this, make sure you've done this. And I said, okay, open up the capsule now. Slide your feet out. And I mean, the picture from that, you saw, it was like outer space. It was, the earth was round. It was like you would see from the moon. And he's looking out of that thing now with an open porthole there. And so they send him on out. Okay, now step to the edge. Don't bump anything, because they said if he'd rip his suit, that's the end of him because of the oxygen problem. The pursuit of a goal, what a man will do to attain a goal. So we saw on YouTube, we saw the picture of it where they told him, okay, everything's clear, now you're ready. Turn on all the cameras, because I mean there's cameras all over to film this as he goes. And then you see him at 23 miles up drop out of this capsule. And I mean, he's getting it coming down from 23 miles up. But he doesn't want to just open his chute. Anybody can open their chute. To break the sound barrier, you need to go 720 miles an hour or something. So he was coming down at 740 miles an hour. And you can see him just going. But he wants to break another record. He wants to go the longest of not opening his chute too. So there's several things you got to do together there. Well, I was thinking what that takes for a person to say, I want to make a goal. He had worked at that for 5 years, and I thought it was pretty impressive. You could see when he did finally open his chute, he did break the sound barrier. I didn't know you could live by going through that. But he did break the sound barrier, and he opened up his parachute. He landed. Everything was fine. The pursuit of a goal. Well, some that I had thought about. A few years ago, I worked in Tulsa at a ice skating rink. It was an office building, but they also had, in the middle of that office building, they had a place for people to skate. I would have to go into work at 6 in the morning, work 6 to 2, and I was so tired when I had to be in there that early in the morning. And when I would go in, they would have the ice rink open, and there would be people out there with instructors, young people out there with instructors at 6 in the morning, taking lessons and practicing. And their goal was, and maybe it was their parents' goal was, I want my child to be good enough that they will be in the Olympics. To be able to reach out here enough, and they had to go to school that day. And I was tired just going to work. The pursuit of a goal. Now I want to talk about temporal things, temporal goals that we set. But then as we're talking about these, I want us to think about spiritual goals, yes, that we set and the pursuit of them. How much effort am I willing to put into that? These young people, diligent training for years because I've got this goal out in life. When I'm 18, I'd like to be I would like to get a gold medal. And they put hours and hours into it. There was another girl just a few weeks ago that got gold medals. Name was Gabby Douglas, a gymnast. And I was listening to it as her mother was telling about how that she was living at home with her mother and didn't feel like, back at 14 years old, didn't feel like she's getting as good a training as she could get somewhere else if she didn't live there. So her mother released her at 14 years old to go move to Iowa to train to be a gymnast. And she just won several gold medals. But a whole lot of effort, a goal set. And you know, those young people put out a whole lot of effort to be able to attain that. And then I start just temporally comparing myself at that age. How much effort did I put into meeting a goal? You know, at that age, what I wanted was a motorcycle. If I could just get me a motorcycle. And there were other young people my age that looked farther than that. They said, you know what? If I could get me a lawnmower and if I could start mowing yards and make enough money to get me a riding lawnmower and mow more yards and then start me a crew, well, within 20 years, I could have enough money to buy this or that. But instead, my goal setting is so narrow. Let me get enough to buy me a motorcycle, and I'm happy. I remember, you know, there are people that go, they're going through high school, making plans for college, what I'm going to do out in the future. And some of you may have had this happen too. Whenever I was going into my senior year, I was just finishing up my 11th grade, and they're making plans, because there's a lot of people taking college courses to get them out of the way while they're in high school. So the counselor, she comes around to each person and she's asking, okay, you got your courses in line here. You know, they got some of these courses of calculus and trigonometry and all that. So it's my turn now. And she has me come in and she said, okay, now let's look through what you've done already and what you need to finish out. Well, I had a requirement for one more math to be able to graduate. So I said, I tell you what, I want to take senior math. It was the easiest one you could take. It was like doing the ninth grade math all over again. I want the easiest math I can take, and I've got some electives here that I need to get some things. So I believe I'll study. I want to learn how to play the guitar. So I believe I'll do that too. Well, she looked that over with all these other people fixing to go to college, and she asked me, she said, what do you plan to do when you get out of high school? Well, I had a goal. My goal was just to get out of high school. It didn't matter anything else. I wasn't thinking past that. There are some that are making plans for college. They're getting courses out of the way. Not me. Just let me get out of high school. And so I look at that, what I'm willing to put out to meet a goal. And I'm thinking about Damon here. You know, a few days ago, he came out to my house and picked up an old riding lawnmower. And he's got a goal to make that thing run. Well, I've had a little goal to make it run one time, too. And I gave up on it. But he's got a goal, and he'll probably have that thing running. Well, there were people that, when they graduated from high school, they would say, okay, I tell you what, I want to be able to go to college because I have a goal at the end of that. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. And so it takes 4 years or 8 years or something like that. And they're willing to plug at it day after day, getting up, taking exams year after year because they have a goal in mind. Well, the career that I had, after I got out of high school, I got me a job. I was working over here on the west side of Oklahoma City at a printing place. And if you ever go in and you buy this candy, the Jolly Rancher candy pieces. Well, I had me a job, and what I was doing was printing the wrappers for those Jolly Rancher candy pieces. And I had me a goal. I had met Cheryl, and I wanted to marry her. So, and I was making a little bit of money printing these wrappers. So everything was going my way. Well, I went to her dad, and I told him I would like to marry your daughter. And so he agreed. He said, yeah, that's good. He said, but you need to get a trade. You know, you need to do something more than Jolly Rancher candy wrappers. But it didn't matter to me. All I needed, my goal was, I just want to get married. I'll work. You know, I'll work right here. I've been working here before. I'll work right here. But he said that to me. And you know how people will set a goal way out ahead. They're thinking about, what career do I want? And they spend a whole lot of time at it. Well, when he told me I needed a trade, well, if printing those wrappers isn't a trade, then I'm going to find me a trade. So I went back there the next day printing the wrappers and told a guy that I worked right next to, I said, I'm needing to learn a trade. And he said, well, you know what? I'm starting next week. I'm going to start an air conditioning course. I said, well, me too. He could have done plumbing. He could have been going into electrical work. It didn't matter to me. I just needed a trade. And I'm looking at this, the pursuit of a goal. We're talking about temporal things right now. But you know what? Some people don't put any more thought than that in the spiritual side of it. Mine was, it takes $5 for a marriage license. I will work to provide food. And so, okay, I need a trade. Well, what are you going to do? Okay, I think I'll do that too. And I went to learned air conditioning. That's how much mine took. I'd like to look at a verse. These people that will put out years of working to be able to win a gold medal. That's amazing, the effort that they will put into it. And you probably know what verse that I'm going to go to. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You look at that man that jumped out of that capsule this afternoon and fell for 23 miles, came down for 23 miles, and at the end of that, they were having a news conference. He had won a title, being the first man to go that far. There are people that will do a lot of things to be able to be first at something or to gain a prize. This one says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Those that try to are out for a gold medal at the Olympics, you think of the elimination process that goes from all those people that have put all that effort in, and they may be better than the one that won it, that passed the eliminations, but maybe they just slipped one little bit and they lost it. But they put all that effort in. This one says, they that strive for the mastery are temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So I was looking at the pursuit of a goal. And most of you have probably heard Dave Ramsey talking. And you know, he will come on and he'll say, I tell you, folks, if you're 18 years old, if you would just start putting back $100 a month, then when you're 65, you'll have $1 million. You'll have whatever. And I think, you know, I'd like to have $1 million. I'd like to have a lot of money. You know what? To be able to have that, you got to have a pursuit of a goal. You've got to say, you know what, today, because we hear these two words, instant gratification. Yes. I want it now. That's the reason credit cards has worked so well. I know I'm going to have to pay for it, but I'd like to have it now, and I'll pay for it on down the road. Well, you know, if you've heard him much, you'll hear him talk about, he'll say this, if you don't want to be eating Alpo dog food on crackers when you're 65 years old, then you better start doing something early about it. And he will start talking about, okay, put this money aside. Well, you know, back when I got married, that would have sounded good. I said, you know what, I want to have $1 million when I get 65 years old. And so then the next step is start putting $100 back every month. Well, then, whoa, here comes the problem, because I need every penny I've got to pay my electric bill and my rent bill and my car payment. So there's none left over. But you know what? Through all that, there's people that every month they are in pursuit of a goal, and they're willing to make whatever sacrifices it takes. It does not matter. They're doing it for a corruptible crown. When I breathe my last, it's going to be gone. I'll leave, if I had a lot of money, I'll leave it all behind anyhow. But they're able to do that to gain a goal. Well, for us, those, everything I've said up to now is about temporal things. That, you know what, Felix Baumgartner, a few years down the road, unless he can have as much of a pursuit about who he is, his home could break up. His life could be so terrible that he thinks, what was that worth? It wasn't worth anything. Well, for me, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. There is a verse in Proverbs I'd like for us to take a look at, because now I'd like for us to start thinking about the value of me pursuing spiritual goals. In Proverbs 2 and 1, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. And look at this pursuit that he's talking about. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Then comes that fifth verse. After I have made a pursuit of a goal, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. If you seek her as silver, if I put out as diligent an effort, yeah, as Dave Ramsey tells me to do to be able to retire with some money, if I will pursue wisdom, if I'll seek for knowledge, lift up my voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures. You remember the verse where in Matthew 13, it says the kingdom of heaven is like some different things. Yeah. I'd like to look at that one for a little bit. Matthew, in the 13th chapter, 44th verse. It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. What would that be like in our day and time today? First thing is, he knew the value of what he saw. He knew that it was going to be worth me selling out everything I have to be able to purchase this thing. You know, spiritually, I need to do the same thing. I've got to have a value on it. I've got to realize, you know what, this thing is more valuable than anything else. And then I'll pursue it that way. Another verse is in Psalms 27 and 4. There is one thing that I've desired of thee, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. While others have goals, while people that are for the Guinness Book of Records are saying, if I could just pass up this goal. Because this man today that jumped, he had done two other jumps this year. He had done one up at 18 miles. This one was to just go on up a little higher and beat somebody that 50 years ago had that record. So the pursuit of that goal, it was amazing to me that he would put out that kind of effort. Then this morning, when Sister Maxine was talking to us about the sower and the seed, that's also in this 13th chapter. There is, when I talk about the pursuit of a goal, what my job is, when the seed is sown, where it was talking about, it was thrown out. The seed was sown on all different kinds of ground. I have a responsibility. The pursuit of a goal is for me to make sure that the soil in my heart is at a place to where that seed is going to grow. Yes. It talked about the thorns and where, you know, when we think about that now, the cares of this life, that's something that crowds every one of us. Because I'm feeling the pressure of it. It seems like if you just work 8 hours a day, life should be easy. You just go home. But it seems like we're spinning faster and faster. It's hard to stop. And this one is saying, you know what, if you're not careful, we talk about a meeting being here and the meeting that's going to be held in Guthrie in a few days and other meetings that have gone on. If I'm not careful, I'll go there and the seed is thrown out. It's thrown out and it meets soil. Yes. It lays on top. Some of it says it just did not bear, did not go down and get a deep enough root. And then a little bit, some troubles came, and that seed wasn't fruitful. Well, I'm thankful that at the same time that it said all of those, it also said there was some seed that fell into some good ground, and it started bearing fruit. So as I'm looking at the pursuit of a goal, I want to take the warnings of lest your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life. I want to be on guard about that. But I want to also realize that in this day and time, it is possible for me to bear fruit. Because we have some examples. And I'd like to look at a song that we've sung it here before. Because I have a choice to make of what I do in pursuit of this goal. This song it's in our blue book. Says, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. And then I have to make a choice about how much I pursue this goal in my life. Amen. With his manna he doth feed and he supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Says the disciples came to land thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, O come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry he calleth now, come and dine. And then the call is available, but it's whether I have enough desire to pursue after that goal. Yes. And that's what's made me do some thinking about Brother Gale Kelly this week and what I know of him. A farmer. You know what? There's times that as a farmer, you could say, you know what? Sunday is a mighty good day. It's been raining through the week. I've got to do some work here and get into a pattern. And he lived an hour away from meeting. How many years he raised his family? And it's real easy to have this pursuit of a goal when I first moved out there and said, you know what, I'm going to be at meeting every time it opens up. And you do it a few times and it takes so much gas and it does so much driving that after a while it happens. After a while you could just say, well, you know what, I think I'll just maybe go every couple weeks. But not him. He said, I don't know how many years they lived there, but the times that we would go up there, here's Brother Gale. And not only Brother Gale, but here's his children now that his brother Philip that he has trained now that brother Philip has his own goal. I'm going to be at meeting, though it takes an hour's drive to come there. Yes. A farmer could have said, you know what, I can't be at meeting very much because I've got this and it's hard to, takes a lot of time for it. He was on the trustees at Guthrie when we were doing the family units. He'd be there. In fact, he'd almost be the first one to be there in the morning. Just whatever you have for me to do, just tell me what you want me to do. I remember when we were doing that and he came up to me, he and his brother-in-law came up to me and said, Dan, what can we do? We're here ready to go to work. And the only job I had right then was we needed 12 units of nail holes filled in the baseboard. That means get down on your hands and knees and going around filling nail holes. Well, I had been the one to shoot that baseboard in, and his brother-in-law did come to me later and said, did it really require that many nails to hold that in? Because every one, he was having to go through there and with his thumb press it in. But that was Brother Gale Kelly. He didn't say, well, wait a minute now, somebody else can do that. I'm getting old. I mean, he just, whatever needed to be done. And the same way with Monarch. He pursued a goal. And then to me, one of the greatest was we need examples today of people that are pursuing a goal with a relentless effort. It doesn't matter. I don't have a place where I say I stop pursuing this goal if things don't go well for me. When he got sick, and I never hardly knew him to be a person that got sick, but when I heard how serious it was, and then he got so much better, and then she found he had died that night, you know what all that told me? He had him a span there that he knew this could be very serious. Yes. And yet he did what he had always done. He put his hand in the Lord's and let him work whatever you want to do. The pursuit of a goal. And I feel sure in my heart that now he hears, well done, yes, thou good and faithful servant. The end of pursuing this kind of goal. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. And it made me think of a song that the Cole family has sung in the past. That's the way I want to go.
Yes.
To see somebody like that, that has lived their life, pursued this goal. He wasn't recognized as some big person. This Felix Baumgartner, his name is flashed all over the news for what he was able to do. But Brother Gale Kelly controlled his spirit. He was a quiet man. When there's trouble around, he was a quiet man just there to do whatever I can do to help. To do that, for me to have the end goal like he had, there's going to be a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things calling here and here. Somehow he just set his eyes on the goal and he kept going toward it.
Amen.
I was thinking in 2 Kings 2, where Elijah, he knew, I'm going to be taken up. I'm going to be leaving here today. And I think Elisha had some kind of feeling there's something fitting to happen. I believe it was because, remember, the other servants were saying, don't you know that today he's going to be taken? And so Elijah, in three places, he would tell Elisha, look, the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. You stay here, and I'm going to go on. And Elisha said, no. And how he said it was, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not staying. I'm going with you. And so he got to Bethel. He said, okay, now stay here. I'm going on to Jericho. And he said, no, same thing. I'm going with you. And even to another place, I'm going to the Jordan. The Lord has told me to go on. You stay here now. No, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going. I'm staying right with you. So then you remember Elijah asked him, said, well, what's the purpose? What's your this pursuit of a goal that you have? What are you wanting from me? He said, what I want is a double portion of your spirit.
Yes.
You know what? He wasn't saying you got a lot of money and when you leave, nobody's going to be around. I want it. It was, I want a double portion of what you have. You remember what Elijah told him? He said, now that's a hard thing to ask, but I'll tell you what. If you see me when I leave, you'll get your request. Now, do you think Elisha backed off of his intensity of watching him? I believe he was right on him all the time, never letting his eyes get away because he knew this is what's attached to me meeting the goal that I want to be able to have. Watching his every move, and he saw him when he went up. Well, it's made me do some thinking. You know what? I'm going to have determination in this pursuit of a goal to be able to make heaven my home because I believe God himself is going to allow some distractions to come to test how much do I want this. You remember when Christian was on his way to the celestial city?
Yes.
And one of his places took him through Vanity Fair. He had some choices he had to make. Do I still see this goal out ahead, even with all this nice, the sounds and the smells of this world around me? That I'm not going to be turned away. I'm still going to go after this goal. And they went on through. Christian, I've still got my eyes on this. I'm not going to be staying here. You remember the verse, Hebrews 11? They're seeking another country. That's part of this pursuit of a goal is for me to always remember. Yes, I do need to put some money in savings in case I should live long. But I tell you what, at the end of it, I'm going to leave it all. So don't set my heart on it because I'm going to another country. I've got to keep that in mind. And there is another verse that I'd like to go to because there was a test given to a woman to see the pursuit of her goal, to see what she would do with it. And I wonder, what would I have done if I had been her? Matthew 15, 23. We've all heard this, but if you think about it along with the topic here, pursuing a goal, 22nd verse, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know, part of this pursuit of a goal is, it doesn't matter what is said to me or about me, I'm going to make heaven my home. I've got to do it. But he answered, Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. You know, she could have turned right then and said, well, he's just said he's not here for me anyhow, so I'm leaving out. But not her. She had a pursuit of a goal that she wanted. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, she's really got a choice to make now.
Yes.
He has cut me down. He has said something about who I am. But instead, she said, because she's got this pursuit of a goal, something that I want from the Lord, she says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So I wonder today if God will allow some things to come my way to see, in your way, to see, how bad do you want this? This pursuit of a goal to make heaven my home, things are going to come our way. That I believe this was Jesus doing this one, that will be sent to be a test. How much am I determined, like Elisha? I'm not going to turn my back. I'm going to be watching you all the time. So for me to tell the Lord, Lord, whatever you send my way, like she said, call me a dog if you want to. That's okay. I've got a desire that I want you to do for me. And that was accomplished. Because there was another one. Remember the rich young ruler? He came. He had a goal in mind. What do I need to do that I could make heaven, that I could have eternal life? And they started listing through there. But there was something different about this man. He didn't have all stops cut back. It doesn't matter what you ask. I believe he thought, as soon as he tells me about the Ten Commandments and I tell him I've been doing them, he'll tell me, you come right on in.
Yes.
But Jesus knew the heart. So he said, I tell you what, you're just lacking one thing. Go sell everything you have. This pursuit of the goal, go sell everything you have, and then you follow me and you'll have heaven then. And he was sorrowful. He went away because he had great riches. So I look at these kind of tests. Another test that came to somebody was Paul. When he made his choice to go with God, changed his ways, you'd think, well, everything will start going good for him now. But you remember all the things that happened to him? But in Acts, I'd like to look at that in Acts 20 and 22. He's got a mission that God's telling him, I want you to go. And they're trying to stop him. His friends are telling him, don't do it. Acts 20 and 22 to 24. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, you'd think he'd say, I tell you what, I'm about ready to wrap this up. I'm about ready to quit this thing. But instead, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy.
Yes.
None of these things move me. What about me in 2012? None of these things move me. I've got a determination. I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm going to follow the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens around me. Doesn't matter what others say about me. I've got a pursuit of a goal to make heaven my home. There was one more that I'd like to think about for just a little bit. Remember where it says in Luke in the 14th chapter and in the 16th verse, says there was a great supper. In 14 and 16, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse.
Yes.
And they had different excuses for it. Well, I was thinking about with that in my saying, I've got a pursuit of a goal. I want to make heaven my home. And here he's saying, like that song says, come and dine. We have an opportunity today in 2012 to come out to meeting, and there's a supper spread by the Lord for us. You know what? If I'm not careful, I will get so busy. I have the opportunity to get so busy that I don't have time. I don't see the value of it. They each one had an excuse that they gave. I'm thinking of the verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to be very careful. I want to have the pursuit of a goal. I want it to be out there in my life. There is one more song that I'd like to look at. Because to do that, I've got to have a determination in my heart. And that is, it may be in our blue book too. It's the song that says, I am resolved. It says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. A determination. And you know, we can look around at the temporal things that people will do. They'll spend years to attain a corruptible crown, to get a gold medal. What about how much effort will I give in pursuit of a goal to make heaven my home when things come my way? How does that prayer?